In 1976, Rosemary Anderson was a young teacher, 26 years old, who just moved to Kamloops for a job at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Elementary. Her father had recently passed away, and she turned to her church for support, seeking the guidance of Father Erlindo Molon. Well, what followed was months of sexual abuse. Rosemary is now in her 70s. She recently started legal action against the Catholic Church, and a BC Supreme Court judge has just awarded her $844,000 in damages. The judge said the abuse suffered was protracted and ongoing, and church officials failed to stop it. Rosemary Anderson no longer lives here in Kamloops. We've reached her in the Vancouver area this morning, and also on the line we have her lawyer, Sandra Kovacs. Good morning to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley.
Hi. Rosemary, let's start with you. I know talking about what happened is still very difficult for you, but you were 26 years old, you trusted your priest, you realized at some point the situation was abusive, and you tried to get help by going to the bishop. What happened when you spoke up?
When I went to the bishop, I actually asked him for advice. I thought I needed an excuse to see the bishop, so I asked him for advice about the proposed marriage made to me, which I did not want to marry him, but I felt that it was the only way to make what was happening right. I was just desperate to escape the situation, and I didn't know how. So I went and asked the Archbishop, or the Bishop he was then, for advice, and of course he advised against marriage, to my great relief. And then he told me he would think about it, and he would need time to work on it. So he did that, and he called me back a while later, a few days later, and told me that the priest was going to have to leave, that he had offered him help, and he refused it, but he was going to have to leave the diocese. But then he dropped the bombshell. He said, "You have to leave too." And I said, "But I don't want to leave." And so the conversation went on for a while, and he said, "Well, go away and think about it, and then let me know when you've made your decision." I had already made my decision, but I went back a few days later, and I said, "No, I don't want to leave." He said, "If you don't leave, they will," I don't know who they was, but it was someone in power, "they will crucify you. And if you still don't leave, they'll crucify you more. And if you still don't go, they'll keep on until they've made you insane, so you have to leave."
Wow, what was that like for you as a young woman at 26 years old?
It confirmed what I already felt, that I was a terrible person for doing this, for being in this situation.
I know, I understand that there were rumors about Father Molon, and the bishop even referred to him as the playboy priest. What do you think church leaders should have done?
Well, there's no question that he should not, this priest should have been stopped long before I was there. And if for some reason he was known to still be in town, people should have been informed. I was new in town. I had no knowledge of any rumors or any behavior that was wrong by this priest. I was not forewarned and thus not forearmed.
Rosemary, how did the abuse affect your life as time went on?
I think it affected my life, I see now in retrospect, far worse than I realized. Initially, shortly after I left Kamloops, I attempted suicide, and I was admitted to psychiatric care for several months on a daycare program. It never touched the abuse. It wasn't discussed. I don't know why. Maybe because I was too ashamed to talk about it, or maybe the question just wasn't asked. I felt like I was completely unlovable and that I was not worthy of any significant good things in life. I thought I was just this absolutely awful person. I entered into a marriage that was without love, and I gave up my dreams of becoming a doctor.
So this has had a devastating effect on your life. After 40 years, what prompted you to come forward with your legal case?
Well, I had tried not to think about it all those years. Of course, it never went away. Contrary to what the judge's report says, I did not forget it. But I certainly tried not to keep it front of mind, and I didn't. But I encountered another priest who was somewhat similar to this one in some respects. And probably best if I don't go into that, but not that he was had anything wrong with him, but he had some similarities, and that made me very concerned. And then I discovered what looked like a personal ad by this other priest online, and I thought, oh no, here I am again talking to consulting, being counseled by one of these bad priests, and it all came to the surface. But I put it away. I managed to bury it again. I wanted to get on with my life. Then in November of 2015, which was about a year after the first thing with this other priest, the movie Spotlight came. And when I saw the movie, it wasn't that it was triggering, which also is what it says in the judge's report, but it wasn't that it was triggering. It was that it affirmed me. I saw the pattern, and I realized then that what had happened to me was the same thing as what was happening to those children. It was the same pattern. I was victimized, even down to the fact that all of these boys in Spotlight, their fathers were absentee or poor or dead, and my father had just died. It was so uncannily similar. And I walked out of there and said to my husband, that was me, and I was abused.
Okay, I'm going to bring your lawyer in on this. Sandra Kovacs is Rosemary's lawyer. Sandra, your taking on the Catholic Church must have been absolutely daunting. What was the essence of your argument in court?
I grew up Catholic, first of all, so yes, and I do remember meeting Archbishop Exner as a child, so it is a daunting defendant to take on. But the experience in court was interesting. I mean, by the time you get to trial, it really, you have a job to do, and my job is to be my client's advocate, and to not hold back. And, we cross-examined Archbishop Exner. He was fairly candid on a number of matters. In my respectful view, held back on a few others. But it was an opportunity that I think rarely comes along for any advocate.
What was the church's defense?
Well, from our perspective, it was a bit surprising. There was very little empathy, in my view, that came across from the defense. And I used to defend cases, not for the church, but for other institutions. And in my view, you can offer empathy while still defending litigation. But from our perspective, one of the challenges was that the church would not concede that there was no consent to these sexual acts until the morning of the first day of trial. And that was incredibly hard for Rosemary. It's been well established in law for decades that there is no consent in this kind of relationship between a priest and a penitent. And to have to wait until day one of trial to hear that, I think, was quite hard for her.
Mm-hmm. Did Erlinda Molon, did he testify?
No, to our knowledge, he's incapacitated by dementia in a nursing home in Kingston. The Ontario Public Guardian and Trustee was compelled by Ms. Anderson's efforts to actually file a response on his behalf, but he is incapacitated.
This was a civil case and not criminal. How come?
Well, first of all, I am a civil lawyer. What I can say is that neither the criminal forum nor the civil forum is the perfect avenue for justice for a sexual assault victim. But I think on balance, I would argue that the civil forum is the better avenue, because what it offers the victim is restitution. And what I mean by that is not just financial restitution, but restoration of power. Sexual assault is and violence is not about just sex. It's about power. And in a criminal court, a victim simply becomes a witness in the Crown's case, and the Crown directs the litigation. And the victim can be fairly disempowered in that process. Mm-hmm. And in the civil forum, of course, we have the plaintiff is the complainant who can direct the litigation. And my practice is to include my clients in the decision-making along the way, to include them in the process, to empower their decisions and their ability to move forward with the litigation, which, my hope is that that can offer some healing.
Did you feel empowered, Rosemary?
I certainly did. I could not have had a better advocate than Sandra Kovacs. Absolutely, yes. She made me part of, not literally, but effectively, I felt part of the legal team. I was part of my team. and that was incredible.
The settlement was $844,000. Sandra, is that a significant penalty for the Catholic Church?
Well, the judgment, as against the diocese, I think will be felt financially. But, you know, the concern is that the institution, which is the Roman Catholic Church, of course, I say their head office is the Vatican. To date, it's been estimated that approximately $2 billion has been paid out by the church to clergy abuse victims worldwide. And so Ms. Anderson's claim is but one of hundreds of thousands, and I don't think it will be felt at that level, where unfortunately I think it needs to be felt for change to effectively happen within the church on a global scale. But my hope is that it is felt by the diocese locally, and it's unfortunate that it has to come to this point where change has to be sort of forced externally, but the hope is that we've educated and informed at least some of the progressive minds within the local diocese, and those progressive minds can then be empowered to effect change.
Hmm. Rosemary, I'm curious, do you still go to church?
That's a really good question. I was still going to church during up until the end of the trial. Then we had the COVID lockdown. Mm-hmm. But during that whole process where they never reached out to me, they never came, not one representative of the church showed up for 1 minute at the trial. There was just no reaching out whatsoever. It began to really get to me. And then when I reflected on it, I just felt like, what am I doing this for? They don't care. They teach us that you cannot be served two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. And yet all they're doing, they fought tooth and nail against me. It was a vicious battle, in my opinion, in the court from their side. And everything to insult me that I felt. I mean, I realize that's hyperbolizing, but it's how it felt. It's, of course, not the reality. But there was a lot of rape myth kind of questions and accusations thrown at me. Such, for example, I was accused in court of being angry and jealous when it was learned that I felt upset. That was my word, upset. When I learned that the priest had other victims, I felt upset, and I was in cross examination on the stand, accused that yes, you were upset. Let me put it to you: you were jealous, you were angry that he had other people. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing was just extraordinary, and I'm convinced, and I'm more and more convinced as time goes on, that they knew exactly who they had there representing them. And if that too represents them, then what kind of a church is this? And it's just, it's really, I feel like they have really damaged my faith, and I'm not sure how to answer your question at this point because of that. May I make a comment about the comments offered by the church spokesman?
You know, we are out of time, but I really want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. To both of you, Sandra and Rosemary, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Rosemary Anderson was a school teacher in Kamloops in the 70s. Sandra Kovacs is her lawyer. We reached them in Greater Vancouver this morning.